This episode is sponsored by ADA Illustrated, a visualization of the ADA building code available on Kindle and paperback via Amazon.
Inaccessible spaces with ADA violations are all too common. Despite the importance of accessibility, many people still struggle to interpret and apply ADA standards correctly. Enter ADA Illustrated, your ultimate guide to decoding the ADA building code.
With over 300 easy-to-understand 3D illustrations, ADA Illustrated helps empower everyday people to know how the design standards should be done. No more deciphering dense text or navigating confusing diagrams. ADA Illustrated makes understanding accessibility design a breeze.
ADA Illustrated is your ticket to empowerment and expertise. Unlock the secrets of ADA compliance with ADA Illustrated, because when it comes to accessibility, everyone deserves a clear path.
Remember, you can grab your copy on Kindle or in paperback form via Amazon. You can also visit booksbywyatt.com for more information. That's booksbywyatt, W-Y-A-T-T.com. Get your copy today.
Look, this episode is sponsored by ADA Illustrated, but also, it's just a really cool resource.
Yeah, it's like, it's everything that... We've tried to read the ADA. We've had lawyers on to talk about the ADA. It's that dense. This really makes a giant chunk of it very accessible to lay people like us and to everyone else.
Yeah, I'm someone who has a lot of trouble with conceptualizing things. And so seeing the visualization of accessibility requirements in 3D is so helpful, because when I look at things in front of me all flat, I'm like, forget it. Hi, I'm Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you probably figured out by now that you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Emily, normally I would ask you what we're going to talk about, but I think that I will do that today. Today, I think we should talk about the C word.
Oh, no.
Not that one.
The C word.
Not that one. The other one. Okay. Although it warrants a similar reaction.
Ooh, the feminist in me was stressed.
Yeah, well, the disability advocate in you is about to be just as stressed, because we're talking about cures today, baby.
Oh, boy. The other C word is canceled. This makes me nervous.
Which is what we're about to be. Let's go.
Wait. Hold on. I was told you had a story for me before we get started. So do we want story time, or do we want to talk about cures?
Well, the story is not... we can't extrapolate, but I do think it's worth telling you, because I was saving this for you.
Our beautiful listeners.
And our beautiful listeners, I was getting groceries delivered, and I forgot, because I said this years ago, that in the delivery instructions, I said, hey, I'm disabled. Can you please try your best to come up to my door? Even though they're supposed to do that anyway, just they don't though. So I said, like, hey, like, it would be really helpful if you came up to my door and knocked on it, instead of me having to lug up the heavy grocery bags to my apartment. And I forgot all about that. And I've, you know, ordered a lot of groceries since then. And this time was no exception, except that I actually had to go downstairs and let him in, because for whatever reason, he couldn't get in. So I let him in, and he was more than happy to come up with me. But when we got into the elevator, he looks right at me. He goes, so, how's your life? It's a really strange question. And at first, I was like, why the hell are you asking me? Like, I wasn't offended, but it's just like a weird... Because he spoke with an Eastern European accent. And so my immediate thought was like, oh, he's just asking me how I am, and he doesn't speak English as a first language. So I wasn't like offended or anything. But then I noticed that he was wearing like very strange glasses. And I said, excuse me. And then he took off the glasses and he was like, oh, I'm disabled too. And I realized that he was an albino man with some kind of eye condition, and he was wearing glasses as a way to help him see. He goes, yeah, I have very terrible eyesight. And I was like, brother, guess what? The other person who lives in this apartment also has very terrible eyesight. And also, I live on the third floor, so we were having this conversation really quickly. But I just thought that you'd find it very funny that that I was asked, how was your life? And I actually, you're not going to believe this because we're recording, but I actually had the thought, like, I wonder what Emily would say and how she would respond to someone unprompted asking her how her life was, and then only to immediately find out that that person was also disabled. It was a roller coaster of emotion.
Wow, like I have a lot
a
of
minute and a half
big feelings about this. I mean, okay, so this is not the story I thought you were going to tell me. I thought you were going to tell me a story that you already told me, and I thought that you had forgotten that you told me about, like, when a guy came up to bring you delivery because he said you were disabled.
Oh.
And then he saw you walking, and then he was like, I thought you said you were disabled.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Like, I honestly wish I were lying to you.
No, I love this, actually. And to be honest, I think that that's kind of the cool thing about disability sometimes. I mean, to the instant solidarity.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was actually, like, really cool.
Okay, we love this story. We also love grocery delivery. Can I tell you, we'll get to Kira in a second, but can I just tell you the newest accessibility thing that I have discovered?
Yes, please.
So this requires driving, so I guess not accessible to all, but did you know that you can drive to Target and park in a drive-up spot and somebody will come out with your order and put it in your trunk for you? I don't even have to get out of my car.
And you still get to go to Target.
Right, exactly. Which, honestly, is better for my wallet because if I went in Target, I would buy everything.
Everyone knows that Target has a pheromone in it that attracts white women. Sorry. You all know it's true.
I don't know. I don't think it's just white women. I think that there's some universal black hole that you get sucked into. But anyway, the point is, how accessible is that? I don't even have to get out of my car. I don't have to carry the bags. Nothing. I love that for me.
So really, it's like you drove to Target and, like, you just drove home and all of a sudden, like, it's like you just park somewhere and now you have a cart full of groceries.
Anyway, people listening to this are probably like, where have you been?
I know. They're probably like, we've had this since March of 2020. It's new, okay? We didn't know.
I don't know if it's new. I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if it's new either.
But I love it and it has been a godsend. I mean, obviously, I have to figure out carrying the groceries on the other side, but it is really nice. Also, continuing the theme of my love of Trader Joe's, the last time I went to Trader Joe's, everybody offered to help me, and then one guy was finally just like, do you want me to follow you around with a basket?
Did you take him up on that?
Yes.
Good for you. I would have been way too proud for that. Honestly, that's so good that you did that.
Look, usually I am, but it's his job. He works there, and he was being helpful. He wasn't being patronizing. I can't reach anything in that store.
That's true.
So, okay. Kira's? Really, it took about 20 minutes to get here.
Let's talk about Kira's. Okay. Let's just start by saying, we know that this is a contentious topic, and it's not just because we're part of a larger community that is very vocal. It's also because we're self-contentious about this topic, and I can only speak for myself, but I would be willing to bet that you have also went back and forth about your opinions about cures for yourself, and also cures perhaps for other people, and also even cures for your specific condition, period. And maybe perhaps even others. The point is, there's layers here, and we're only going to be talking about ourselves and nothing else.
I'm really glad you said that, because I already can see people getting heated. And you know what? I want to be very clear. I'm not telling you how to feel.
I think this would be best if we talk about our own personal journeys with it. I think that way it's a little bit more clear that it's us.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that we should probably offer the context that the reason this came about is because we struggle so much with this topic. And, you know, both of our viewpoints have evolved, I would say, over time. And I know that it's something that we're both grappling with a lot all the time, because before we talk about our own journeys, I just think that we need to name honestly that there is a really pervasive belief within so much of the disability community that daring to say the word cure means you're a bad advocate.
Yeah. That even merely suggesting it is verboten. For a myriad of reasons, some I would say are more valid than others, but it is something that is common in our world, no matter what the disability or condition is. And that is just fact.
And I also think we should probably point out that neither of us have conditions that are curable.
That really does help my personal view, though. It really does, because I actually have no idea. I know it would be different if there were, because then I would have to like put my money where my mouth was. And I don't know.
Tell me where your money in your mouth would be.
Man, I am so pro-cure now. I used to be the most anti-cure. Which is kind of ironic, because as you know more than anyone, even more than me, like, disability was and sometimes still is not really part of how I identify. And yet, even when I was like very in my like, I don't like that word to describe me, even in that phase of my life that I can argue I'm still in, but that's for another time. I never liked the idea of cure ever, which is really weird, because like someone like that, I would think would like a cure. And it was because at that time, like everything in my life was because of it. Because of my CP, in some way or another, better or worse. And I felt like I would be betraying part of myself. And then I turned 30.
I mean, that's when supposedly everybody says the world changes, so.
No, I'm not going to lie, like I was definitely going toward cure way before then. But I think at that time, I was able to be really honest with myself, because I used to say all kinds of stuff, and I was about to say stupid stuff, but it's not stupid if you feel this way. I used to say all kinds of things that this version of me would see as just excuses. I used to say, well, I wouldn't cure CP, but I would cure the pain. I wouldn't cure CP, but I would make myself walk straight. I wouldn't cure CP, but I would add a couple inches to my height. I wouldn't cure CP, but I would, you know, I would make it so that I could hold a cup with liquid in it without trembling like I had Parkinson's disease. Like, I used to say all kinds of stuff like that. And then I realized, like, hold on now, if I take away all the stuff that CP does that negatively impacts my life, what's left? It doesn't positively impact my life. The ways that it has positively impacted my life are ways that have nothing to do with the fact that I have it. It's just that because I have it, I was able to create this life for myself that would not change if it disappeared tomorrow. It wouldn't
change now, but it is what led you down every single path that you're on.
Yeah, it would have back then. There would be no accessible stall if I could cure my CP back when I had that thought at 22. But that's what I'm saying. That's not, it's because I have CP, but CP didn't do that. The CP
doesn't have me.
Oh, hey, that's so annoying. If you're one of those people that believes that, God bless you, okay? Like, I'm not making fun of you.
I'm joking. I hate that.
I know, but it's just not for me. It's like, okay, if that's you, that's cool, bro. Like, it's just not for me.
Do you remember we used to be so careful on this show, and now we're just like, I'm going to tell you how I feel?
Yes. Well, because, like, there are things that I do because I have CP that are not, that are good, but I don't do it for the right reasons. Like for example, and I've touched on this before, like I'm cheap. I save money like it's going to be food one day. And the reason for that is because I don't know if I'm going to be able to work in 30 years. I hope I will. I don't really see any reason to think that I will fully lose my ability to work, but I don't even want to, like, what if I do? What if I do? And then what, you know? Would I be that way if I didn't have CP? Probably. My dad would still be my dad, and he's worse than me. But, like, his reason and my reason, I don't know his reason, but I know it's different. You know what I mean? I'm doing it because I feel like I have to.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm constantly worried about what happens if something affects my capacity to work. And that's a whole other conversation around productivity. But yeah, that definitely shapes a lot of how I function. But in terms of cures, to go back to it, you said something that I guess they hadn't really considered it from this perspective, but I would often say the same thing. It would be like, well, I just don't want the chronic pain. Or, you know, it might be nice if I didn't have to contend with stairs all the time and not be able to get into buildings. And it's just like, actually, you know what? It would be really freaking great if all of the pain and all of the inaccessibility was gone. But there's like a dynamic here where some of it is internal and no one else's fault. My pain is no one else's fault. The barriers that I encounter because of my disability, that is not my fault. And so that's the part where I get to the point of like, it's not me who needs the fixing. It's society that needs the fixing. And I think it's like a both and, not an either or.
Exactly. You stole the words right from me. Because the fact of the matter is, if you could take a magic pill and it worked and had no adverse effects, those barriers would no longer be there to you, even though they are 100% and were never your fault, you know?
And those barriers would still be there because my taking a magic pill would not fix those barriers. And
that's right.
My taking a magic pill would not preclude me from falling and breaking my leg years down the line and suddenly being unable to walk again, or, you know, aging into disability or whatever. So there's just so many hypotheticals where it's like, yeah, I want the pain gone, and I'm really annoyed constantly by the accessibility barriers that I encounter, but one of those things is a me problem, and I'm not saying something wrong with me, I'm just saying no one can change that. The other thing is, like, get your shit together, society. You take a pill.
Right. Why do I have to do it? Well, I have to do it because chronic pain's annoying, and tripping over nothing is annoying. But, you know, I used to play this thought experiment with myself. You know, I would say, like, oh, I wish just for 24 hours, man, like, I just wish I knew what that was like, just to be like, but then no, I don't. No, I would not ever do that for only 24 hours. 'Cause that would, I love genuinely the ignorance that I live in, not knowing what it's like to be able to do certain things. I would not be able to handle it if I knew. I feel that way when I, like, I don't care about my height. I'm a short guy. I'm 5'4", for anyone who doesn't know. I'm really short. I feel a little bit of that when I stand on the back of your wheelchair and I'm like, oh, I'm average height. This is sick. I'm not even tall. And I don't even care. And I feel that. Just when you and I are messing around, I can't imagine if I could just, like, get rid of it for a while. Like, I just wouldn't.
Perspective for you is like,
sure.
What about someone who is walking one day and then gets hit by a car and becomes paralyzed? Like, they knew that life and now they know a different life.
Everyone I know who has acquired a disability like that are like, they totally have a different experience than me, but they're all. They all act in a way that I don't think I could, selfishly, being born this way. Like,
well,
I mean, truly, I...
Right, because it's all you've ever known. But on the flip side, like, being non-disabled was all these people ever knew until they became disabled. So it's interesting.
You're right. it's weird.
It's a really weird, like, flipped situation to think about.
I will say, though, I don't know how keen I would be. I'm saying magic pill for a reason, because I think honestly, if I had to do anything particularly invasive, you could tell me on invasiveness if it really could, if it was like 100% proven and it wouldn't kill me. But if I had to relearn how to walk and stuff like that, if I had to like relearn how to do all that at 32,
but what
that would be a little.
It wouldn't even necessarily be relearning so much as learning something entirely different, because your body would start to function differently.
That makes it worse then.
Right. Yeah. And also you're right about the invasiveness. I mean, I want to make sure that I clarify, like, I am not here to judge or speak about someone who acquired an injury and what they choose to do. But for me, when I watch people who have been paralyzed use like an exoskeleton so that they can try to stand up for a little while, I'm like, I understand you're trying to replicate a feeling that you had pre-injury, but all of what you're doing just looks so uncomfortable and unwieldy and painful. I'm just like, sit down.
I wonder if that's because you were born this way too. Like maybe for
totally.
Them. Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm making people mad right now, but please know it comes from a place of love and curiosity and not judgment, because I don't have that experience.
And you know what's weird too? And I don't actually know if this is true for you and your disability, but for me and mine, I got a pretty mild case of severe brain damage. That's a line for a video game that I love so much because it actually applies to my life. I have a very mild case of severe brain damage. And it's not bad. There are people with CP who are much more limited in ways that I know I take for granted, that I would not like personally, but that I obviously don't have a problem with or anything like that. But I like this, you know? And if I like this, and I do, and I would still cure it, like I feel that guilt, because I already feel guilty having like this much quote unquote CP when I know I could have had a much worse presentation of it. And that's not to judge anyone who has any more or less CP than me. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about from where I stand. I'm very aware of my privilege and that there's a lot that I can do that a lot of people with CP like can't do. And so why is this idiot complaining that he would cure what he's got when, you know, and I get that, but still, I just.
Yeah. I mean, I think about all of the ways in which my disability does not impact me. Like I communicate verbally and it does not have a cognitive impact, for example, and also how, and I'm sure I've said this in other contexts on the podcast before, but people used to try to say, oh, well, your legs don't work, but your mind works fine. And that was so validating to me when I was younger. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized, like, that is awful. That is awful.
I used to say that.
Exactly. But like, you're essentially saying, oh, you're an acceptable human being because you're only this kind of disabled.
Exactly. Which is a wild take. And yet somehow I feel like that's a very acceptable thing to say, even in our world sometimes.
Oh, totally. You know, totally.
I understand, for example, like that's what the doctors told my parents. I love them, okay? But like they like that because they had a baby that they were scared of losing, and that was great news to them. In that context, I understand it. But in the context of being a disabled person, saying, well, yeah, I can't walk, but at least I can think, though, is not the flex you think it is.
And not only that, but like, I just, every time I hear someone who's like, well, I use a wheelchair or I have a speech impediment, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with my brain. I'm not stupid. And I'm like, what? What? Do you hear yourself? I understand what you're trying to say, but do you realize how offensive you're being? I don't think they do, but.
It's like that. You're describing people who would be featured on the subreddit "Accidental Ally," like, except in the other direction where they're saying something that's But anyway, yeah, but I think I'm not going to defend that because I agree with you. I think it's a bad thing to say, but I really do believe that the people who say that don't understand why.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's such a taken advantage or taken for granted thing, not taken advantage, that we society don't we don't realize how much we don't value those with IDD until we were forced to, and that's bad.
I could go on a soapbox about this, but
maybe we should. That could be its own episode.
It should be. And yeah. I think maybe we could invite someone with IDD, but
we should,
you know, as they say in office jargon, putting a pin on it in it for now. Because another thing that I was thinking about was I often say that I wish I could put myself out of business because I am in the business of being a professional disabled person. I'm disabled 24/7. And this is not so much like about a cure as it is like a societal fix, but just thinking about how a quote unquote cure would also put me out of business. This is my life, my identity, my job. It's everything. And I'm not necessarily saying that's healthy, but I am saying that's my reality.
Yeah, but you could. You're good at everything you do. Except for walking.
I don't know
walking.
About that.
But you don't
I'm
even do that.
Very
so.
Bad at walking.
Yeah, but you don't do that.
Right. Sometimes I just like put my feet on the floor and I'm like, what if I just tried to stand up? But I can't.
Oh my God. Can you imagine like one day it worked? Like what the hell was that? Just blow your freaking mind. Oh man. That's funny.
I sometimes walk in my dreams, but this is not an aspirational thing. This is not aspirational. And I know what it's like to walk because I walked when I was younger, but I think it's so weird because my legs always feel heavy in my dreams. Like Dream Emily knows that she is not supposed to be doing that. And we're doing that anyway.
That is wild.
It's so weird.
That's crazy. I love that.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I don't know if I'm disabled in my dreams. I have no idea.
Man. I wish we could like hook you up to a machine and find out.
Hey, weird dream podcast time. In my dreams, when something good is happening to me, it's third person and I'm watching myself having it done to me. When it's bad though, that's first person, baby. I don't know what that says about me, but that's some true fact about this guy.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a dream analysis podcast next time. But in the meantime, here's a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
So what if it was not just a cure, but like the entirety of your experiences and identity up to that point were erased?
I'm shaking my head no. And I'll tell you why. There's a funny answer and then there's a real answer. The funny answer is because then I would have to really commit to my identity as a Kyle and I would have to drink Monster and wear a backwards hat and punch walls. And I can't do that. And that is something I'm grateful to CP for. But if you're going to Men in Black me and like zap my entire memory away, if you cure it, that I don't think I could do that. It's not that bad. But I don't know if there's many things I would zap my memory for. I like truly. There might be. I'm not going to say there's nothing. There's probably something. But yeah, no. No way.
Yeah, because, I mean, but that, I think, gets to the crux of the issue for me is that to take a magic pill, to get the Mr. Clean magic eraser, except for your disability, you know, whatever it is. Like
that's actually... just.
That's
scrub
like an SNL skit.
Scrub the gray matter black spot on my brain. Oh, it's all clean now.
That's a Saturday Night Live sketch for sure. But, you know, that's the thing. It's not just erasing the pain. It's not just erasing my inability to walk or grappling with accessibility. It's erasing everything that has shaped who I am up to this point in my life. And that is true no matter how you feel about disability as an identity. What?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You looked like you had a counterpoint.
It wasn't a counterpoint. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was just me. I had a light bulb. And that light bulb was, I wonder if you'd still be as passionate about disability, though, because of your mom. I would wager that you would, but it would be for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if I was one of those people who was like...
You totally would be one of those people, though, because you would still have your ambition. And your mom would still be your mom. Like, it's a recipe for... Oh.
Wow, I hate that for me.
No, I mean, maybe you wouldn't. Who knows?
No, I would absolutely be one of those, like, give me a gold star allies. I don't know. I hope I wouldn't suck that much. But
And I hope that I would still be a huge nerd that doesn't play sports, and that the reason I don't play sports is because I can't, not because I actually wanted to at some point in my life. You know, I that's a silly example, but, like, you know,
I just at this point feel like my disability has given me in many ways as much as it has taken from me. But I should also note, I don't really know that it's taken things from me necessarily, because they just aren't things that I can have.
Oh, I just lost my point.
Okay, well, I'm still trying to figure out how to articulate what I meant.
Like, that was beautiful, just for whatever that's worth. That was cool.
I think, because to say that my disability took something from me implies that I had something in the first place. I still don't know what I'm trying to say, but I guess you get it.
I get it. I remember now. Okay, zoom out. It's not about you or your disability anymore. If you could take a magic pill that could guarantee that you would not get any disease condition, insert negative medical word here, that runs in your family, genetically, hereditarily, or even just by bad luck, would you take that one? I would take that one faster than the CP one.
Yeah, yeah. But then that gets into the whole conversation around, like, ethics of, you know, selecting for certain genes and things like that. But again,
I know, but, like, I don't want dementia and I don't want glaucoma, even though there's nothing wrong with glaucoma, okay? Some people with glaucoma are really cool.
I was about to say, you were about to step in it.
No, but really, like, that to me is different. And you know why it's different? I'll tell you why it's different, because I don't currently have those things. That's why it's different. That is very easy for me to say, oh, yeah, I'll take that to prevent those things.
I have one other thing, though, too, which is, like, I have enough problems. I am just so disabled already. Like, I don't want more. And you can call me ableist, but that's not what I mean.
Dude, okay. I think any reasonable person, especially if they're also disabled, knows exactly what you're saying. I don't want any. That's the whole crux of this episode. I don't want any more problems. And I know they're coming.
Well, yeah. And also, I had a very real encounter with this, because I had cervical spinal cord compression. And we were watching it since I was like 6 months old. I always had an unstable cervical spine. And the doctors would say, at some point, you're going to need surgery to stabilize this and fix it. And so in high school, I needed that surgery. But the major caveat was, well, if you let the spinal cord compression go on, you could become paralyzed and die. If we fix it and it fails, you could become paralyzed and die. And I was like, oh, great options. So, you know.
Okay.
I don't want any of this. Like, I don't want to become paralyzed, but I mean, you have to take a preventative measure in the hopes that you don't become paralyzed while taking your preventative measure. That was a very real moment where somebody was like, you might become more disabled. And I was like, no, thank you. And again, not a judgment on paralysis, but just like when someone's like, here are your options.
I think it's very easy to forget that you and I and everybody are very used to and for better or worse, like, sometimes in air quotes, the bodies and experiences that we have. There is nothing wrong with paralysis. I know plenty of paralyzed people who live great lives. I don't want it. They probably don't want what I got. You know, I don't want what you have. Looks good on you, though. It really does. But I don't want it. I like this.
Is that our version of, like, might we say you look good today?
No, you look good today.
But I think that for me at this point, I really do feel like the cures that I want are chronic pain and inaccessibility be gone. But
what would you do for a living?
Right, exactly. But like, at least I'd still have my identity, my memories, my family, the people that I love, you know?
Oh, man.
And there's an added component of this to me. And of course, I waited until 41 minutes into recording to say this. But, you know, there's also the genetic ethics of, like, if you have a child and you can consciously select not to pass on your disability, do you choose that? And quite frankly, maybe that's another episode, but it is related to the cure conversation.
My one sentence answer to that before we inevitably tackle that one day is that is a totally personal decision that is entirely and only up to you. And that's that.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I'll save my views on that for another episode.
Yeah.
Because
I would love to hear them, though, if you're willing to say them on the show.
I'll tell you secretly after the episode. No, of course, we can talk about it because at this point, I've come to realize that if people are going to come at me for my views, that's okay. But I'm not imposing my views on anyone, and I would prefer that people not impose their views on me.
Yeah, if only we could live in that world. Remember before Twitter?
Yeah. Unrelated.
Yeah, I'm just kidding, by the way.
We live next to an Asian family, and every night around, like, right when I need to go to bed, they start making whatever is the most delicious-smelling food, and so I should be, like, getting ready to go to bed. But instead, I'm just like, can I come over for dinner?
You got to find a way to get there. I mean, find it.
Every night. Like,
do you know what it is?
No, I don't know what it is. I mean, I see that they often get, like, deliveries from an Asian grocery store, but it just, like, wafts into my apartment. And I'm just like, please, please, may I have some?
There is an Indian family that lives across the hall, and I have that exact same problem. And, like, I am scheming. I need to know how to get them to give me food. I want it so bad.
But I don't live in an apartment where people are like, let's be friends and social.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Like, I went to watch the eclipse outside on the lounge on the 9th floor of my apartment, and there were so many people out there, and I was like, oh my god, like, you all actually live here?
Isn't it wild how many of your neighbors you never see, and then all of a sudden, like, you have a moment like that where it's like, oh
yeah, I was like, oh wow, there really are people in this building.
Yeah,
but you know, none of that has anything to do with a cure. But I mean, sometimes when you talk about a heavy topic, then you just want to talk about delicious smells and watching the eclipse, which, by the way, was so overrated, at least where I was.
Yeah, it didn't look that good here. But where my sister lived, she got like 95%. She sent me a picture and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
oh,
I want
to see that. I'm pretty jealous.
I'm saving my pennies to go to Spain and wherever the next one is in 2026. I'm like, I'm going to see that. Because that was, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, if I had cared more and landed in the path of totality, it might have been interesting. But here I was just like, I don't care. But a neighbor was really nice and lent me their eclipse glasses because I couldn't get my hands on a pair. So, you know, humanity is good sometimes, I guess.
I remember in 2017 during that eclipse, I like got up from my desk. And I was in an office building in Brooklyn, and the building I was in did not have windows that were facing the eclipse for whatever reason. But this other company did, and they had windows that were facing the sun. and they invited us in there. We didn't ask. They were just like, hey, you guys want to come see the eclipse? And we were like, hell yeah. And that was fun.
But you're not supposed to look directly at it.
We didn't. We had a CD that we reflect the sun off of, and then the reflection. Okay. But
well, the other funny part is, kids
don't know what that is.
I tried to didn't care at all, and then last minute I tried to make like an eclipse viewer out of a box of gluten-free taco shells, and
can you say a wider sentence?
No, I can't.
I'm just curious.
That I bought at Target.
Oh, there you go. That's it. And wait, that did was you actually buy them at Target? Oh my God.
Bought them at Target.
Jesus. I love it.
It's so funny.
And
but
then
anyway,
I yelled at my neighbor for being near my lawn.
It didn't work. So I threw it out. And then the lady took pity on me and gave me her glasses. But yeah.
Hell.
Wow.
What a ride.
Cures.
Cures.
So, final takeaways?
I don't really think that I've come to... you convince me in some direction. Like, I either change my mind slightly or you reaffirm what I already believe. I don't think that... And I'm not saying it's your job to, because it isn't. But I've become so accustomed to that, I just forgot what it's like to end up in the same place that I was at when I started.
Be your own person, Kyle. Be your own person.
Give me that pill, goddammit.
I mean,
then
you
can kick me out of the accessible soul. It's not mine anymore.
Well, you always have a place here. But I mean, you said something that actually might have changed my mind a little bit, because I have always been the kind of person who's like, yeah, I would just take it to get rid of the pain.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of you.
Oh my God, no, you're not making fun of me. If anything, I feel like you made me think about how, like, it's almost like an unrealistic, all of this is unrealistic, but that especially.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's sort of why it pushed me over the edge. Because if I'm like playing mind games with myself, where I take away some of it, like, why not just take away all of it? I mean, it's not going to happen. Having said that, though, if it did exist, I mean, I don't know if I would even hesitate. I wouldn't, though, if there was any risk of anything averse. Like, if any of this could get worse, I would not do it.
Right. I mean, that's the other hypothetical. And I know we just said final takeaways.
Oh,
but
and I'm sorry to do this, but 48 minutes in, I have to say, I am 150,000,000,000% for prevention, like preventative things, like, and there like are a lot of those for CP specifically. I love them all. Love them
okay,
all.
Okay, but then how do you feel about all of those commercials that are like, was your baby, was it a wrongful birth or whatever?
The hell's a wrongful birth? That's such a lawyer sense.
No, I literally, I'm Googling this to see if I'm making this up, but I feel like
no,
you're wrongful birth.
No, but to answer your question regardless, I hate those commercials. And you know why? Because...
Oh, yeah, fetal defects.
Well, excuse me, where's my $1 million payout? I've got a bunch of those. Or I had them. I mean, I'm not a fetus anymore.
Yeah, it's like if you have a defect after being born...
Excuse me, I was born barely alive at 3 pounds, 3 ounces. I'll take my check. Thank you.
All right. Well, if you're a lawyer, hit us up and get us $1 million, please.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We'll put it to good use.
Oh, on that note.
I just realized that my shirt matches the chair I'm sitting in.
And it's a pink chair, in case you were wondering.
This has been another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Might we say, you look absolutely stellar today.
It's true. And there's no accepts this week. You all look good.
No, I probably usually say especially. It's not.
I know, except. But the last episode I said except, and it I didn't like it. I thought it'd be funny to say except, but I felt mean. I didn't want to be mean to whoever.
Especially you, person.
I thought you were going to give a name.
I was going to give a name, but then I was like, no, everyone's beautiful.
Yeah, everyone is beautiful.
Wow, what a ride. What a ride this has been.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
If you'd like to support.
Oh, yeah, wait, hold on. If you'd like to support The Accessible Soul for just $1 a month, if you do that, next time we'll remember to put this at the beginning of the episode and ensure that all current and future episodes of The Accessible Soul remain. What do we do here?
Accessible.
Oh, dear, dear. DJ Khaled, good night.